to one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
We can do so much more. We can save this world.
Welcome to the What Are You Reading comic book show.
You know, in my preparations of getting ready today, I figured to myself, self, why don't you go lay down a little bit, you know, take a little off the body, and, you know, come 4 o'clock, you'll be ready to go. I was like, yeah, that's a good idea. And, so I wouldn't lay down, you know, and didn't really plan on like falling asleep just because I was laying down. But the next thing you know, it is 4:30, which I'm start in a panic at this point because, you know, I like to start to prep for the show around 4 o'clock, and but you know. Pulled it off, and so now we're here to do a show, a nice show, a family show, a show that's necessary week after week, this grind we put in, called the What Are You Reading comic book show. I am the guy they call Surfer. This is my brain trust, my baby. You know, years ago, I said that, you know, I've read a lot of comic books, and I want to talk about them. I want to talk about them with people. I'm a people person. I like to mingle with the common folk, the little folk, you know? I'm a lord that's not above everybody. You know, I can't rule over a kingdom if I don't know my kingdom. So once in a while, I put on the robe and become a common person and meet the people out there and find out what they're thinking, what they're doing. So when I go back to my nice little castle in the sky. Yeah, everything's good. You know, I feel good about myself. You know, I've done my part. You know, people complain about my leadership and my role. That's on them, you know. That's their problem. But anyway, let's do a show. So, let me introduce a man who doesn't need introduction. But I introduce him anyway. That's Jordan Cobb. Jordan Cobb, people.
Yes, hello everybody.
Jordan.
What?
What you been up to lately?
I've been working, doing some writing for work and reading. And
what did I tell you about reading? That gets you in trouble.
Always do it every day. Hey. Read books every day. That's how it goes, right?
I don't know. I just figure you read, you know, it makes your brain get bigger, and your head gets bigger after that. And, you know, that's not always a good thing. I'm just saying.
Gives me an edge on you.
Say that again now.
I said it gives me an edge on you. So,
no, it don't. Yeah. It don't give you an edge. You never gonna have an edge on me. No, don't fool yourself, man.
Delusion. I disagree.
Yeah, how many fingers am I holding up?
I can't see you on video.
See, you're not that smart.
So, this is a person I have to put up with every week. And every
what are you
day.
Eating, anyway?
What?
What are you eating?
I just shoot on an ice cube for my drink.
You and your darn ice.
It's fucking hot here, man.
Okay, we'll drink this cold water then.
I'm drinking lemonade. Ice cold, freshly brewed lemonade.
How do you brew lemonade?
There's a powder, you see, of lemonade. And you put in some water and some ice and you stir and voila, there's lemonade.
Yeah, but how is that a brew?
It was just the words that came to my mind, okay?
So is it country time?
Yeah.
I don't get country time. Not that I don't get it like that. I'm just saying, like, you live in the South. You're a Southerner. You're supposed to make home fresh lemonade. I thought it was an insult to drink instant lemonade that when you live in the South.
I don't give a shit. I love instant lemonade.
You know, I had a woman. She was from Alabama, right? She was living up here, and we were dating, and she used to give me hell.
Why?
Because I used to buy store-bought iced tea. And she thought that was such an insult to her, being that she was a Southern woman, that I could allow her, I should have just let her make iced tea. What she didn't understand was, one, the only reason I was drinking iced tea was because I didn't want her to know how much soda I drink, because that's what I really wanted to drink it too. I'm not the type of person that cares whether it's freshly brewed or it's already in a gallon container. You know, it's iced tea to me. Yes, there's a difference in taste in some of them.
Well, some of them.
Yeah, some of them. Right.
Others, I was like, look, if it tastes good in my mouth, I'm going to drink it. Because right now, I am sweating my balls off, and I need something to cool me down. And if it does that, then I'm going to keep drinking.
If your balls sweat, why don't you put a little Gold Bond medicated powder down there? That'd cool.
Or have I just take off my pants and sit and bend over in front of a fan?
Okay, now you're going too far, man. You've taken this too far. Taking it too far. Okay. Stanley,
you know,
nobody's
hey,
listening to this.
I could have been the one behind the latest Fantastic Four movie.
What do you mean? What am I talking about?
I said it could have been
no,
worse.
No. I'm talking about nobody. He says, "What the hell am I talking about?" God, common people. I tell you. So how can these common people join us today, Jordan?
Well, these common people can join us uncommon castle folk by calling into the number 215-253-4516. Once again, 215-253-4516. You can also call us on Skype by calling or adding the contact SilverSurfer_forever, which is all lowercase, just so I can help you out with your search and make it a hell of a lot easier. You can also join me, Surfer, Stanley Kubrick, and Nobody, and several other people in the Listen Live chat room, where you can listen to the show live at www.rantemradio.com/chat-listen-live, and it is also at www.rantemradio.com/chat-listen-live. You can listen to all of the shows live and interact with the chat room, and also listen to all the shows on repeat if you're not able to listen live. But if that doesn't work for you, don't worry. You can listen to us anywhere at any time, thanks to the wonders of technology. You can listen to us on your mobile device or on your home computer or, you know, whatever. Whenever. Thanks to us being on Stitcher Internet Radio, Geek Life Radio, Podbean, Blog Talk Radio, and of course the almighty iTunes. Open up iTunes today and search for Rant Entertainment Media Radio in the podcast section. And subscribe right there. Watch the various 5 stars and leave a review for our show, any show, all the shows, whatever. You'll be helping us out greatly. You can also go by the You can also go by Facebook.com and search for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show Facebook page. And like the page where we update daily with all the news that's going to be coming up and talk about on the show.
We also have the fans of the What Are You Reading Comic Book page and the Unnecessary Movie Review. If you want to post comic book and movie stuff, there's a group out there. You know, I've had this group for a while, just never really used it. But, you know, if there's something you want to post, then join the group and you can post stuff too. So,
yeah. And also on the Listen Live page, there's a little bit of a donate button. You can donate to the site. Help us out. Keep the lights on a little bit. Because, hey, this ain't cheap. We buy our own equipment. We use our own things. There is no corporate overlord for us yet. And also, you can see, above at the chat room, you can see the schedule for the upcoming Mega Summer Weekend, which will be coming up soon with coverage of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn on Saturday, August 22nd at 7 p.m. And then the next day, the much-anticipated Mega Slam event.
Mega Slam.
With Rage versus Mega Powers in the eating contest to end all eating contests. That'll be live on Sunday, August 23rd at 5 p.m. Also, off to the side, you can order your Mega Slam t-shirts right now. And, of course, Sunday will also be pregame coverage of WWE SummerSlam at 6 p.m. Us? Yeah, we're taking the day off. Hey, we need breaks, people, okay?
Well, I don't want to work any earlier than that Sunday anyway. But,
yeah,
we talked over with Mr. Phillip, and he and I will be hosting a Friday show of a combination of Turnbuckle Throwbacks and Fun Show. So,
okay,
that'll be Friday, August 21st at 9 p.m. So we'll do a little throwbacks and we'll have a lot of fun. So excuse me. Oh, man. Don't have a cold, but I have something. So, let's do some box office numbers. Because we had a movie came out this week. And that movie was Fantastic Four. I believe it's the last comic book related movie of the year. But I'm hoping I'm wrong. And
I want to see a better one.
What, this year?
I mean, after Fantastic Four.
No, I'm talking about this year. We're talking about this year.
Yeah, I know. I don't think there is anything else comic book related after Fantastic Four.
So, Fantastic Four didn't take the number one slot. It came in second place, I'm sorry. With $26.2 million, it was number one on Friday, but then it just started to drop Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And it got beat out by Mission Impossible. Also in the top five was Ant-Man, brought in $7.8 million in fifth place. Its domestic total is now $147 million. Ant-Man is a nice little hit, of course. Worldwide is up to $326 million. So you will get that Ant-Man 2. Anything else to mention? Inside Out came in 9th place.
Go see Inside Out, people.
No, I'm sorry. It came in 12th place. Pixels is in 9th place. Who cares about Pixels? Terminator Genesis, way down there. Brought in $315,000. It's just a big disappointment. Now, this movie came out this week, and I know they were hoping it could make the top 10, But it did not. And that movie, because it did well on the first day of release. I can find the number real quick because I just saw it. Oh, snap. I gotta go to another page. Okay, no, let's try this one. Here we go.
Movie, yes.
Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F.
Okay.
It only had like 4 days of showings, and each day was only like a 1 day showing. And so it brought in a nice $5.3 million for its time. I think there's a day playing next week if you haven't seen it yet. I will talk about Dragon Ball Z in a few minutes. Where I thought about it, because I did see it, and it's my responsibility to mention it. So those are box office numbers. Now, Jordan?
Yes?
We have to talk. I know you don't like having these conversations in public, but I'm sorry I have to do this.
So, what are you talking about?
Now, I know what you want to do next, but in order for you to do it, you have to promise me that you will give an impartial and fair thought on this, not just say it's one way or another, okay?
Okay, just spell it out.
Wait, hey, don't rush me. Don't rush me. Okay? We'll do a review of Fantastic Four if you can behave yourself, okay? And not all right. Just sit there and trash it just to trash it or love it just to love it. Just you got to be you have to be balanced and fair. You have to be Fox News.
Shut. Can I just say this? I did not go into this movie wanting to hate it.
I'm just saying, you know, if I feel you getting out of hand, out of control with your review.
Okay, I promise.
I'm shutting you down, okay?
I promise.
I'm shutting you down because I Jordan, look, I don't want you to become. I worry about you, Jordan. Okay, I'm worried about you, and the people need to have honest, fair, and balanced opinion about this. Okay, and make a judgment for themselves.
All right.
Me.
Let's just get to it.
Okay, so Fantastic Four came out this week. This is the reboot of the Marvel property that Fox has control over as far as cinematically. And, the last two Fantastic Four movies, had some mixed feelings about it. One was a hit. One wasn't as big as a hit. But it wasn't big enough that they kept with it, and of course the stars, they went on to do other things. So, and the way these deals work with these studios, if you use it or lose it, people. So if Fox wants to keep the franchise, they have to put out something ever so often. Or else it'll revert back to Marvel. And Marvel would just love that. Because Disney owns everything. So, of course, they did a reboot. And this time they decided to make it different from before. And we all know the Fantastic Four. It's a family of explorers, who had a tragic situation happen to them. And they turned it into a good thing where they become explorers but superheroes, And if you read the book, it's about family, it's about humor, it's about adventure. It's about being a superhero team, too. But it's about the wonder of science. And in the comic book, everybody doesn't always get all those beats right. Some focus on certain beats and forget about the others. And then some come along and they just put the whole puzzle together like it was meant to be. Thank you, Jonathan Hickman. Thank you. But anyway, the Fantastic Four was a mixture of different ages. You had Reed Richards, who was like the perpetual 35 to 40 year old. His best friend in the world, Ben Grimm, who had the most tragic thing happen to him when he got transformed into a rock creature. And, you know, he's like a walking Shakespeare tragedy. You got Sue Storm Richards, who was the love interest to Reed Richards and became the Invisible Girl. And then they realized why she's the only girl on the team when everybody's a man, so it became an Invisible Woman. And her younger brother, Hothead Johnny Storm, who became the Human Torch, who was reckless but good heart. And you know, that family expanded. You know, they had children and stuff, and they lived together, and you know, everything's good. It's gravy. So, but for this reboot, they decided, let's make them younger. And there is a precedence for that in the comic book. If you read the Ultimate Fantastic Four, they were, you know, all the members were younger. So, in this one, they cast Miles Teller as Reed Richards, Michael B. Jordan as Johnny Storm. The people have just lost their minds over it. Kate Mara as Sue Storm, and Jamie Bell as Benjamin J. Grimm, the thing. And of course, you can't do Fantastic Four without Dr. Doom, so Toby Kebbell is cast as Victor Von Doom. And you have other people in this, Reggie Cathy as Dr. Franklin Storm, and Tim Blake Nelson as Dr. Allen, you know, people like that. So, in this remake, basically you meet Reed and Ben as children, and they become friends because Reed's trying to invent a device to transport matter, and he meets Ben because Ben lives and works at a junkyard and he needs a part. So they build this machine, they get it to work, but they're not the way they think it's supposed to work. So, years later, they've kind of made the machine work, but not the way they thought it was supposed to work, too. You know, they're at a science fair, and they're like, yeah, you know, we're going to transport this. It's probably going to go over to the desert, and then we'll bring it back. And they do that. They make it disappear. They make it come back. It's covered with sand and everything. And so that's why they assume we got transported to a desert. And, of course, Storm sees this and is like, yo, son, you need to come work with us. We can make this happen. So they join the Baxter Institute. Well, one of them does, because Ben Grimm, he's just an average person. But Reed Richards is the smartest man on the planet for a 17-year-old, and he didn't look like he was a teenager. Neither one of them did. But anyway, he goes to the school. He meets Johnny. He meets Sue. He meets Victor. And they build a machine to teleport them to a different dimension. Of course, to get to work, they travel over to this dimension, in which they get irradiated and get powers. And from there, of course, you know, as all superhero movies, they have to learn how to control their powers. And then there's a threat at the end they have to stop. Now, I'm trying to not spoil this movie for you people, because it's kind of hard not to. So I'm being vague at this point of the description, because if you want to see it, then I don't want to blow it for you, okay? But overall, the movie failed in so many levels. Now, that's not to say it's the worst movie. Now, these are reviews out there that says that this movie is horrible. They're overstating it. It's not the worst thing you can watch. It's by line. It just didn't come together the way it could have and should have. And I'll get into more in a second as to what I think went wrong. But now I'm going to give Jordan a chance to prove himself when it comes to giving him a review. So, Jordan, Take your sip of lemonade and tell us what you think.
It's one thing, you know, it's one thing to expect a good or a bad movie. This was a boring movie, and see, here's the thing. I hate boring movies. Movies that waste my time. All movies that don't engage me at all. I was not engaged at all with this fantastic movie. There might be characters named Reed, Sue, Johnny, and Ben in this movie, but these are not Reed, Sue, Johnny, and Ben. These are barely three-dimensional characters in this movie. These characters feel so lifeless and detached in so many ways because of the terrible script that's written here. Again, they barely get past one dimension to make them interesting characters. It's just not good. This movie just isn't good. I adore the Fantastic Four, and I'm up for any interpretation. Again, I like the idea of them using Ultimate Fantastic Four to make a movie, but they couldn't even do that right.
Well,
they can't do Fantastic Four proper right. They can't even do Ultimate Fantastic Four right. This movie just sucks. It's terrible.
Okay. This was directed by Josh Trank, who did Chronicle, which we both love as a movie.
Yeah, it's a great movie.
And I don't know if he's not capable of doing a big budgeted movie, or, you know,
Or Fox got in the way.
Fox got in the way. He got in the way of himself. He didn't really want to do a comic book movie, but he wanted to do something science fiction-y. But somebody in another review said it right. It's like they waited till the last 10 minutes to remember they had to be a superhero movie. And Dr. Doom, they still haven't got him right. Outside of the Roger Corman movie, they don't get Doom right, okay?
See, that's the other... Okay, now that's one thing that especially pisses me off about this movie, because Dr. Doom's the greatest fictional villain I've ever come across, in all honesty. That is not Doom. This is Doom in name only.
Actually, he's like third.
I'm not getting into that debate right now.
You gotta put Darkseid in.
I'm not talking about that right now, sir. I'm talking about the shitty movie.
But Doom is the best all-around villain. Like, if you need a villain to go up against anybody,
speaking personal preference. I'm not getting into this barrier now. This movie fails Doom. This movie. Oh my god.
Well, this is where they go wrong with Doom. Okay, let's
the very first frame with him.
We say
the no, very this, first frame.
No, this is where they go wrong with Doom. Let's examine what Doom is, okay? Dr. Doom is a megalomaniac character. He doesn't have any powers, okay? He is, like, brilliant. He's probably, like, he's 1A and 1B when it comes to brains. Like, he's just a tad above Reed Richards, smart-wise. And that bothers him, okay? And you know, he uses technology to build himself an armor, which gives him abilities. Plus, he did learn how to manipulate magic. So his powers are external based. Like, he doesn't have powers. But the last couple of movies, they thought they had to give him some kind of powers, which he doesn't have. Like in the Tim Story ones, they gave him the ability to shoot electricity.
Yeah, and you know what? Here's one thing I'm going to say. At least the Tim Story films understood the kind of tone and way to go with a Fantastic Four movie.
Uh-huh.
Again, this movie was boring. It felt lifeless, detached. It just did not feel fun. Nothing fun. I hate this dark and dour tone in this movie. It does not fit the Fantastic Four. It should never be done for that.
This Dr. Doom can make people's heads explode, and has telekinetic powers. But that shouldn't make him any more dangerous as a villain, where it takes an entire team to bring him down.
The dangerous thing about Doom is his intellect.
And then I've said this before, the mistake some movies make is they think they have to give you the villain's origin at the same time that they're giving you the origin of the heroes. And the villain's origin is not necessary. We don't have to see this person gain abilities or powers at the exact same time. That's not the reason why they become enemies. They become enemies because usually the villain shows up for whatever reason. So the hero goes to stop him. And that's what makes them enemies, okay? You know, the first time Spider-Man swung in and stopped the vulture from robbing a bank, it wasn't because you saw the vulture learn how to fly with his device and why he put it on. No, he was robbing a bank and Spider-Man came along and stopped him. And that's what made them enemies. And you don't always have to...
But you can do the villain's origin too, as long as you can have a good, healthy balance.
There
was no balance here.
Okay, name one movie where you watched the villain's origin at the same time you watched the hero's origin and it worked out.
Tim Burton's Batman.
Okay. But you didn't watch Batman's origin in that movie, did you?
Oh, okay, fair enough.
See, I gotcha. See, there was they didn't.
You're gonna be okay. Lord it over me. Come on, just.
No, I'm just saying. Like, you didn't watch Batman's origin and the Joker's origin. You watched the Joker's origin. Batman was already established.
Well, look again. If you want to do something, okay. The first Spider-Man movie. There.
Yeah. Sam Raimi's. Okay. First Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And
as long as you can balance the hero and villain origin, and can do right, go ahead and do it.
But even with that, it wasn't like Spider-Man got his powers first, and then halfway through the film, then the Goblin became the Goblin. It wasn't like meanwhile, simultaneously, they're both getting powers. No. And yeah, that is the closest thing to a movie that did work in that fashion. But, you know, okay. Excuse me. So, yeah, it's a failure on different levels.
Well, here's now, how the movie really fails. Again, the characterizations of these characters don't work. They're not even a team.
You don't get a sense of a team. You don't get a sense of a family.
No, because Reed just fucks off the movie for about a year, and it's like, oh, we're the, I guess I'll say, terrific trio or whatever. And it's like, no, terrific trio. Like, no, there's no real team dynamic. There's no family dynamic. There's nothing. There's nothing that would say I want to see more adventures with these four superheroes. I totally want to see more. I got nothing. I need to feel that. And I, again, you know the emotion I most conveyed during my screening was yawning. Because, again, I can take a good movie. I can take a bad movie. But boring movies piss me the fuck off. And this movie pissed me the fuck off of making the Fantastic Four boring. And they should never be boring. This movie fails on so many levels. The characters don't. The characters barely have one dimension. The sloppy editing is terrible, especially in that third act. There's no real team dynamic. The plot is so rushed. There is terrible pacing, and the villain ultimately amounts to nothing. It's terrible. It's awful. I am really. I wish I could forget this one, but it's so bad, I kind of can't forget it. And honestly, Fox, I trust you with X-Men, I can trust you with a few other Marvel properties if you want, but you cannot do Fantastic Four, it seems. This was your third at-bat, and you struck out all three times. I'm sorry, but Cut your losses.
No. First of all, the Roger.
Give them back.
Hold on. The Roger Clemens one wasn't a strikeout. They only made that just to keep the rights.
I'm talking the officially released ones. The one from 2005, Rise of the Silver Surfer.
Hey, you about to step in it. You better watch it.
How dare I upset my king?
Keep your mouth shut, okay? Talk about Rise of the Silver Surfer like that. What is wrong with you?
You know it's terrible.
No, it's not. It is perfect. I watched it the other day.
It's a safe place.
It is the greatest film with the Silver Surfer ever made, okay? So I don't want to hear it. Shut up.
It's a safe
place.
You
lose your job.
It's bad.
Right? You know that get you canned, shit canned, okay? Talk about my movie.
Honestly, what I can just say, avoid this movie, Pete. Just avoid it.
No, listen. If you really want to go see it, go see it. You're not gonna eyes ain't gonna burn out, but
yeah, but you'll fall. But hey, it'll be great ambient.
It's not gonna last long in the theaters anyway. At this point, so
just go watch Inside Out again. That's my recommendation. Go watch Inside Out.
You know, it came up short this week. Next week it won't be in the top five. It'll be near the bottom of the top 10. And once that happens, theaters don't. If it ain't making money, then they give up.
And here's the thing: I like the actors who play in the main four. I would honestly like to see I honestly would have liked someone else. Someone else behind the director's chair. This movie misses the mark about what's so good about the Fantastic Four completely.
I was worried about Miles Teller playing Reed Richardson. He just didn't convey to me that he was the smartest person on the planet. Not that he was he acted terribly, but I didn't buy it. I did not buy it at all. So, look at this. Transformers is on. This badass, this terrible movie. Anyway, let's talk about another movie.
Yeah, let's talk about something that didn't hurt me.
That shouldn't hurt you either. We're going to talk about Batman Unlimited, Monster Mayhem, people.
No, it didn't hurt me. It did not.
And this movie is due to be released on August 18th. But we're talking about it real early, people. Is this the second or third movie?
Second.
Okay. I wasn't sure, because when I messaged you about it, I thought we had, may have seen it, but apparently we didn't. So, if you don't know what the Batman Unlimited series is, these regular DC movies they've been coming out with late, they're not really kid-friendly,
Hey, adults need something.
No, I'm just saying, certain kids on a certain age, you may not want to sit down and show them these films unless you feel they can handle it. But to keep the little kiddies satisfied, DC's been putting out these Batman Unlimited movies. Well, they're more kid-friendly, family-safe movies. That's based around Batman and,
Unlimited, a series of action figures.
So it's basically kind of like a Justice, Super Friends, but it's not Super Friends, it's Batman and the people he worked with. And this is the second one that's about to come out. It's called Monster Mayhem. The last one was Animal Instinct, and it was dealing with the Penguin and a few other villains. But with this one, you're dealing with the villains you're dealing with is the Joker, Clayface, Solomon Grundy, Scarecrow, Screaming Banshee.
Silver Banshee.
Silver Banshee, yeah. I always think of Screaming Banshee. Silver Banshee. And of course, Batman, he has his partners too. He has Nightwing, he has Red Robin. Then from there, depends on who they want to throw in. This time around, they had Green Arrow and Cyborg show up. And basically, like the last one, you know, the villains have come together with a plot. And, you know, as you watch the movie, you find out what villains are involved, because you don't meet them all at once. You meet Silver Banshee and Solomon Grundy as they're escaping from Arkham. And, of course, they run into Nightwing and Green Arrow, and they get away. And the Scarecrow gets involved. And then, of course, Clayface gets involved, and they kidnap a little kid who's into computer programming. And it turns out the Joker's behind all this. And the Joker wants to put together he has a plan for taking over Gotham. Of course, what else would you do but rule Gotham?
Yeah.
And so he comes together. They make this device that infects all technology with a Joker virus. So that leaves Batman and his friends to put a stop to these villains without having technology to help them, because basically all the technology they have no longer works, and it's, you know, under the control of the Joker. And even Cyborg, who's you know, technology based, gets overtaken by the Joker, and he's a formidable person you have to try to stop too, because now he's under the control of the Joker. And let's see. So who are the voices? Okay,
Roger Craig Smith is Batman. Troy Baker's the Joker. Kyrie Payton is once again voicing Cyborg. Chris Steele Ponatopoulos is voicing Green Arrow. Wilfred L. Nightwing.
You know who he played in the movies?
Who?
Chris D. You know,
Mo in the Three Stooges movie. Okay. Ha ha! Gotcha.
You didn't get me, damn it.
Whatever. Just go watch Rise of the Silver Surfer again. Erie Lowenfall is Red Robin, and this time, oh wait, and Richard Epcar is Gordon, Alistair Duncan as Alfred, and this time joining on is Silver Ban, Kari Wolher as Silver Bansy, Fred Tascalora, Solomon Grundy, Brian D. Delaney as Scarecrow, Dave B. Mitchell as Clayface, Noel Fisher as Go-Go Shoto.
Hey, so what'd you think about it?
I liked it slightly better than Animal Instincts, but it's like, well, hey, it's just kind of still on the same level. I mean, hey, good for kids. And then, you know, if there's a parent that's a DC Comics fan as well, they're probably going to enjoy it too, for the little Easter eggs that are in there and you know, whatnot, and recognizing these characters. Otherwise, I'm not too sure I'm going to remember this too soon. I mean, I liked it better than Animal Instincts. I thought it had a bit of a better plot and was a little bit more exciting. I liked the animation style, but it's just okay. I liked it fine. I liked it just fine.
I thought this was the third movie, but I thought we saw another one in between. But okay, and there'll probably be more out. You know, I'm wondering when Supes and Wonder Woman is going to show up, but and Aquaman, of course, you know. Green Lantern, that type of thing.
Yeah, what did you think of the movie?
I enjoyed it for what it was, you know, nice little family fun, you know.
Yeah.
Sit down with the kiddies.
More or less the same. It's fine for what it is. And that's good. I liked it fine. Again, I liked it better than the last one, but ask me in a few days, and I'll be like, I think I saw that, yeah. I like the voice work, I like the animation style. I think it's really good here. Also nice to see Peyton voice Cyborg again. That's great.
And not being saying booyah.
Yeah, that was very good. Because, sorry, still not a Teen Titans Go fan, people. I tried again, but I just can't get in that show.
Well, you know, people running these cartoon networks think that kids are stupid and they don't want much to think about, so.
Yeah. Watch needs more Steven Universe.
That's part of the problem. But anyway.
No, it's not.
I'm going to talk about Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F.
And I'm going to take a bathroom break.
No, hold it. While Jordan takes care of his potty problems, I'm going to talk to you about Dragon Ball Z, people. And, you know, you can call in. Don't, you know.
215-253-4516.
I think I'm going to get rid of this number because nobody's calling in. So, once in a blue moon, that ain't enough.
215-253-4516, people.
So, you know, Dragon Ball has made a revival as of late. You know, they even got a new TV show. And they've been putting out movies, you know, every so often. And, you know, one of the things Dragon Ball has done is try to erase Dragon Ball GT. Because that was just a terrible series. And so, basically, they've acted like that didn't happen. So, they've gone back to where Goten and Trunks are still kids. Pan's just a baby. Which is, of course, Gohan's child. And the last movie introduced, what's this? Did I miss the call? Okay, no. Alright, so the last movie introduced Beerus the Destroyer, who's probably like the greatest fighter in the universe. Because that's one of the things about Dragon Ball, there's always a greater fighter in the universe out there. And Goku fought him, but came up short, but kind of friended him in a way, so he didn't destroy the Earth. And in this, also in this movie, this is Resurrection F, because the return of Frieza, the one of the original villains of Dragon Ball Z. What is his name? Vegeta was the original villain, but then he changed sides, and then Frieza became the big bad, and so Goku defeated him. And, what did I miss this time? Oh, okay. And so, he was destroyed and dead forever, living out in hell. In this movie, you meet Frieza, he's suffering in hell. He's suffering so badly in hell, it's not even funny. He's not, like, burning fire and brimstone. He's being forced to watch as stuffed animals and bears parade around him and sing songs. And that drives him nuts. That would be some hell, wouldn't it, Jordan?
It sounds like it.
Anyway.
Well, so what are you doing in my bathroom?
I thought you were done.
Knock first. Jesus.
Anyway, so one of Frieza's henchmen comes to Earth, finds the Dragon Balls, use them to bring Frieza back to life, and then through their technology, mend his body. So now Frieza's like, he the only thing he's thinking about is revenge on Goku. Because Frieza's the evil bastard who didn't learn his lessons. So Frieza used to be the most powerful person in the universe at one time. So, and because of this, basically, he never fought. I mean, he never trained to get stronger. But he realized he has to, for the first time in his life, train if he's going to defeat Goku. Now, he doesn't know what Goku has been through for the last 18-plus years and how many people he defeated. And even in Frieza mentions that there's two people he shouldn't fight. Beerus the Destroyer and Majin Buu. But he discovers that Goku defeated Majin Buu. So, at that point, you would think, you know what, maybe I should just go to the other side of the galaxy and leave this person alone. But not Frieza. He has to have his revenge, okay? He has to be on top. So he goes off and trains for 4 months, and he comes to Earth with thousands of men just to destroy and beat Goku. Goku's off somewhere training with Beerus's assistant, who's pretty powerful in his own right. So, of course, with every Dragon Ball movie, when the battle starts, Goku is never around. Because if he's around from the beginning, then he would probably win it. Or when he does fight in the beginning, something always goes wrong, which of course he has to recover first and then come back and win at the end. But in this case, he's not there. So the rest of the Earth heroes comprise of Krillin, Gohan, Piccolo, what's the dude's name with the one eye? Tenzin, sorry. And Master Roshi. You know, they have to hold the line until Goku shows up. And of course, when Goku and Vegeta shows up, you know, Frieza's like, yes, I've trained. I'm at a new level now. So of course they have to battle it out, because Goku has to stop him and then maybe Vegeta. And they fight, of course, because what else are you going to do in a Dragon Ball Z movie but fight?
Also yell.
And, you know, raise your power level. Now, as far as this movie goes, I think it's one of the better movies they put out in a long time, as far as it being entertaining, you know, humorous, funny. With some of the voice actors, of course. You have Marjo Patrado as Goku, Chris Ayers as Frieza, Renee Garcia as Vegeta, Kyle Herbert is Gohan, and the narrator, who is Piccolo. Oh, Christopher Sabat is Vegeta, Piccolo, and Shenron, because he voices quite a few people. Didn't I say Vegeta twice? Yeah, there's two Vegetas.
I think you did.
Yeah, there's two people voicing Vegeta. That doesn't make sense.
Vegeta.
And Monica Ray is Bulma. You know, there's one woman on Dragon Ball Z who doesn't fight. Her name is Bulma. Bulma Briefs. What a name, right? She's named after underwear. A whole family's named after underwear. Did you know that, Jordan?
No.
Yeah, her son's name is Trunks. Her father's name is Professor Briefs. And Bulma is underwear, too. Bulma Briefs. So.
I was not aware of this.
And that's why I'm here. To learn you. To learn you something. So, if you know, I think there's one more chance Tuesday or Wednesday to see it. If not, then of course it'll be on video soon enough. And you can also find it online if you want to watch the subtitle version of it. And the TV show's available, the new one, subtitled. They haven't brought the English version over yet, but it won't be long before that's on TV. Oh, got a caller. Stanley Kubert.
Hi.
Oh, finally this jaunt. This Joker finally.
I just called in to elevate the show.
Oh, we haven't had a good show. Oh, wow. Our numbers suddenly went down because Stanley's on.
How dare you? I mean, you were talking about panties and trunks.
And people that was... hold on. I'll have you know that was just Surfer talking about it. Why are you throwing me within such filth?
I've just called in because I want to go through a set of trades, comic book trades that you recommended me yourself, Jordan Cobb.
Oh, all right. Yeah,
because the show is quite lowbrow. It's DC and Marvel and comics.
I am not all DC and Marvel.
First of all, the show is about whatever you want to talk about. But you got
to
call in.
It to a higher level of consciousness.
Don't you let me in that? Because hey, I talk about indie books on here all the goddamn time.
Well, it always falls on deaf ears. It's almost like a monologue.
It's not deaf ears. If you call in and you want to talk about something independent, do that.
Talk about your books, Stanley.
So, Mr. Jordan Cobb, who resides in Alabama State.
Arkansas, thank you very much.
Same thing.
Okay.
No, hold on.
Stanley, I have to insist you get started, okay? Talk about what books you want to talk about, please.
Right, so he recommended me Scott Snyder's Witches. That's Witches spelt with a Y, not an I.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, I only read Volume 1, so it's about a story about a teenage girl called Sailor, and she is subjected to, lives in the States, subjected to bullying, and strangely, during this altercation, the girl doing the bullying, not Sailor, disappears, and she's assumed murdered. So there's obviously stigma associated with Sailor, so the whole family have to move away in a different part of the state into a remote house by the woods and start a new life. And it's horrendous. The actual story bites into the mythos of witches with but if you've ever read Hansel and Gretel, for example, the fact that they have a gingerbread house, that's linked into the story.
Mm-hmm.
The cauldrons there where they actually boil and eat people. And the other side of the myth is where you pledge something to a witch in order to gain something, but you have to sacrifice something. So there's that. So obviously you can see where this horror book is going. But it's more than a horror book in the woods, which is a lot of the a lot of the horror actually occurs, and people get swooped into trees and dragged underground and then boiled alive. But it's more than that. It's about the family as well, because the father isn't particularly the greatest father. So it's the first volume of the book is a bit about the father redeeming himself. And that's all I'm going to say about it. It's an excellent book. Guy did American Vampire as well, beautifully illustrated and creepy as shit. So
yeah,
thumbs up to Jordan Cobb for that.
Yeah, well, Witches is absolutely amazing. It's one of the better horror comics out there right now, and I think it's actually the best example I could ship next to, say, Nailbiter or excuse me, or American Vampire, as you know. Or Coffin Hill from Vertigo is like, these are good ways of doing horror in the comic book medium.
And it's intelligent as well. And
well, yeah, because there's
twists.
Yeah, what I like about Witches is that it's about specific fears, such as, you know, our own selfish, you know, impulses, and also the fear of being a parent.
And how much do you love your child really above your own selfish interests?
Yeah.
It's all that kind of
deep
stuff.
Yeah, again, it's volume one, so it's just the first six issues. The story's going to begin, start up again in the fall, but it's an Image first trade, so that means it's going to be just $10, so go get it.
Yeah. And Jordan Cobb of Alabama, he also recommended me Rat Queens, which is about an all-female group of adventurers set in the Dungeons & Dragons world. The story is, though, slightly camp, but it's graphically very violent, and these are chicks that swear a lot and speak their mind. So you can kind of see the tone of it, and it's, as I said, in a swords and sorcery fantasy setting. These chicks, one of which is a dwarf, one of which is a lesbian halfling who likes sweets and drugs, another one is a elf, sort of elf conjurer, and the other one is a human cleric whose parents were Cthulian priests or something. But they start off in a city, which is like a boon town for adventurers, young adventurers, and the mayor is not happy with them, nor are the guards. So they all get sent out on a mission to rid a cave of goblins, and obviously they've been double-crossed. There's an assassin waiting for them, and somehow they get into trouble, essentially. And it's the tone of the comic that's the best thing. These are chicks with attitudes. It's almost like the Spice Girls in a Dungeons & Dragons world went out there and kicked ass. And it's violent. So this is not for kids. It's graphically, horrifically violent. And there's, as I said, there's halfling lesbianism in there, and people, you know, chicks talking about cocks and things. And it's brilliant. It reminds me a little of, if you remember a few years ago, IDW's Dungeons & Dragons Shadow Plague that they released. It's got that kind of humour, but it's this is stronger. So, if you're into Swords and Sorcery, go for that. What was the other one you recommended? Southern Bastards.
Yes.
Yes. Now, Southern Bastards is a... Actually, I put it... It's. I think it is set in Alabama, is it? In a small town in Alabama?
Yes. Where I am not from.
What do you mean you're not from there?
I'm from Arkansas.
Same thing, dude. The Bloodhound. The rednecks. It's the same.
It's not the same thing.
Anyway, racist. It's a small town, and what it is, this small town mentality. It's. I complained to Jordan Cobb about this because there's a lot of stereotypes in there, and there's no way this small town has got problems. I mean, the jocks go out there into the woods in full gear at night, and under the instruction of the coach of the American football team, they beat people to death. The crime lord, who is the coach of the American football team, commands them to beat up and kill. Really, in modern day America, this doesn't quite happen, does it? Jocks don't pander to the whims of a old man in small Alabama towns and go out there and beat up tramps and shady characters, do they? But the main point of the story is that a guy who's now at retirement age comes back to town to basically clear out his old home, because his uncle's in a residential home and is died, and he's got some history there. And this the old guy left 40 years ago from this Alabama town, and he fought in Vietnam and did the whole thing. It's the first time he's been back in that length of time, and there's troubles in the town. There's violence, there's injustice, and he wants to basically, he believes he's got a good sense of what is right and wrong, and he wants to do right in that town and make a difference. And he's tormented by his history in that town, and he goes around essentially and beats up the bad guys and takes them on single-handedly. And that's really what the whole story is. It's his demons with his father, who used to be kind of a local hero who died, and him such kind of reconnecting maybe vaguely with some of the old characters in town that he vaguely remembers, and doing justice to the people there. But it's, I won't spoil it, but let's just say it's justice doesn't always prevail. And the other one was the other volume that Jordan Codd recommended was his origin story. It was, of course, Sex Criminals.
I see you did it there.
Well, what's that story about? It's a story about two young hipster people set in modern day, and basically they individually, they separately, they orgasm. And when they orgasm, like everyone else does, they stop time. And not just that, the guy in the story, his winkle glows when he has an orgasm. And I have to use the word winkle because this is a family show. And they stop time, and it shows their background story, how they each individually came about knowing their power, and it goes into quite a lot of depth there. The guy, for example, he learned his power in a sex store called Come World. What he did, he stopped time and he took artifacts from the sex store. So he used to steal sex mags and take them home, but freeze time. The shop assistant wouldn't catch him. The girl, on the other hand, she just She was quite naive initially when she was a younger girl. It shows her origin story, and she had to ask one of the school bitches about sex, and it goes into all the sexual positions in a quite graphic detail, some of which even Jordan Combe hasn't tried out.
I've tried them all, so.
And not in that list you haven't.
You don't know that.
Well, anyhow, the
I don't tell you all my sexual conquests.
What was I going to say? I lost my thread. Yes, so coincidentally, these two hook up, and they're quite sexually open, both of them, and they each tell each other sexual history. The guy is an aspiring actor, but he's a secretary. These are quite a young couple, and the girl is a librarian, I believe. And with economy as it is in this modern age, the library is facing financial difficulties. So then, of course, they try and, being hipster dudes, they try and find some way of funding this particularly failing, faltering library. And they decide to do something illegal. But then the story gets into a bit like the movie Jumper, with people, let's say, policing the sort of time stop universe that they create. Now, when they stop time, it's only for a limited amount. So they're on a time limit to do things when they stop time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really where that's more or less what the story is. It seemed like a simple concept, like something out of Twilight Zone with a more adult theme, but it is quite sexually explicit in what they talk about. There's a lot of it's all about sexuality. It's all about the other thing is the sexual experiences as well. Like one of them, the guy was saying that his first sexual experience was when someone was playing miserable British music over the radio, and it put him off. And there was some other nice sketch where they were having sex to Queen's song or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't get the rights for the Queen's song. They had to put post-it notes on the Beach Bubble
comic.
That was funny. Fat Bottom Women or something.
Fat Bottom Girls.
Yeah. So it's basically got nice quirky elements thrown in there of pop culture, and I think that's it. I think those are and each one I'd say gets an 8 out of 10.
Well, I'd say it's about sex criminals. The premise intrigues you, but you know once you start reading, you realize there's more to it. There's it's a deeply character-driven book.
Yeah, it's not like Spider-Man. There's things going on in the minds of these people, and it talks about the motivations, how they got to where they are.
Yeah,
and like the guy in Cum's world, and he literally went into the shop, stopped time, and started stealing. Not sex toys, but pornography, and taking it home when he was a kid. But then when he hooks up with this other woman who coincidentally can stop time as well with her orgasms, he takes her along to the shop, you know, and says, look, this is where I cut my teeth. You know, this is where Jordan Cobb went in when he was younger. Stop time.
Why are you always picking on me?
So do they steal money?
What was that?
Do they steal money?
Yeah. I can't say whether they do. Well, he's spoiled it, hasn't he? Not really, because it's criminals in the title, right?
That's also been a well-known plot point since Fraction was like, you know, yeah, they're gonna steal money.
But it's doing the Robin Hood act for a good cause, right?
No, yeah, it is.
But it's not for themselves to spend on, you know, golden dildos and in holidays in Florida, is it? So but there's another twist, which is why I said it's a bit like the movie Jumper.
Except way better than Jumper.
Well, it's not. Yeah, just think about Jumper and what happens to the guy who jumps around. And you'll have an inkling as regarding what happens in this movie.
Honestly, people
in this comic, rather.
Honestly, people just read these books. And right now, my favorite comic book right now is an Image book, one I think Sandler should also read, called Nailbiter.
I haven't read that one. I think it was in your list, but I didn't pick it up.
There are two trades of it out.
I don't think I'm a snob. Don't think I'm one of these guys who says, well, I'm going to read Image indie comics. Because I read Suicide Squad Volume 1 2 weeks ago. I thought it was batshit crazy wonderful.
Wait, the John Ostrander or New 52?
It was... Good question. I don't know which one it was.
Because Ostrander? Fuck yeah. New 52?
It was that one with the batshit crazy story in the stadium. Was it has that horrendous scene with the woman who's pregnant.
Well, do you remember who wrote it? Or
I don't no, I didn't, but I oh god. Sounds you know the one?
I'm trying to remember because there's so many comics I read. There's only so much space in my brain that can withhold all the shit I read from comic books.
But there's no way that the movie's going to have any of that content in there because it's horrendous. It is batshit crazy. They literally don't stop from the time they leave the prison complex. And
well, if you're talking about that, sounds like New 52 one, maybe, and I'm not a big fan of that interpretation of the Suicide Squad.
Well, it was batshit crazy and I loved it. But there's no, like I said, there's no way they're going to, page for page, ever going to replicate any of that content in the movie, because this is not for children, this is for sick adults. I mean, it's horrendous. I was actually quite shocked that DC had stuff like that out.
That was current Suicide Squad. Now that I looked it up, I didn't read that.
Well, that comes highly recommended. That's like a 7.8 out of 10.
And I more or less gave it a little like, it's a 4.
A 4? That was... Is there any...
I'm sorry, but man, I just did not enjoy that story. It Kicked in the Teeth is the name of it. The Suicide Squad Kicked in the Teeth. It's the first Suicide storyline.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
Suicide Squad storyline of the new... It's the new it's the first new Suicide Squad storyline of the New 52, which I just, again, was not a fan of.
Out of 112 people in the United Kingdom, 75 gave it 5 stars out of 5. So that's how good it is.
Yeah. Bob. I prefer my John Ostrander Suicide Squad.
Oh yeah, the Trial by Fire and all that crap.
Hey, if you want to read some good Suicide Squad, go on and pick up some of the original 80s Ostrander comics.
Okay. Trial by Fire from the Ashes. Maybe.
Do it.
I will, okay. It's all money though, it's all money. Yeah, I've got to eat. Not necessarily caviar and champagne. Okay.
The fuck is that?
So yeah, all those comics that you recommended, Jordan, were excellent. I'm gonna start on Saga next week.
Good, as you should.
Wait, so you just get into Saga?
No, that's not true. I read Volume 1 about 2 years ago, year and a half ago, and I can vaguely remember it, but I didn't stick with it. I didn't continue with it, strangely. But now I've got like 3 or 4 volumes in a deluxe volume, so I have read Saga and I do vaguely remember what happened, but the first volume I remember was quite confusing. It had some guy with a TV on his head at the end, and
hey, don't talk about Prince Robot the Fourth like that.
You know, and I thought, what the hell's going on, what is this? And then it obviously got the rave reviews, and by which time was busy with other things.
He's a robot.
Yeah, but with a TV on his head, Surf, I mean, that's like for babies. That's something you'd get from Teletubbies.
Hey, I've seen people cosplay as Prince the Robot. And it was good cosplay, too. Like, the screen changed and everything.
But that's not even... I don't know, it just put me off the comic when I got to that final bit. And he did have sort of like Prince Valiant trousers on and a...
Prince Robot's a killer, man.
Yeah, but if you've got a remote control, you could sort him out.
Nope.
Turn him off.
Nope. He's left nothing but death and destruction in his...
But people are saying this is like the Star Wars for adults. And I'm thinking, how can this be Star Wars for adults? You've got a goat guy, you know, or a goat woman, and this baby running away and frightened in between two siding, warring factions. And you think, what is
because
this?
You gotta,
and the guy with it's on his head.
It's the people they meet as they travel through the galaxy trying to...
I don't remember them meeting too many people in Volume 1, actually, when I read it like a year and a half ago.
Because Volume 1 is about them escaping that planet.
Yeah, yeah. I don't remember too many interactions that those two had and the baby with other people.
You know the story is told from the baby's perspective, right?
I didn't know that. I couldn't even remember that.
Yeah, the whole story is from the baby's point of view. Know. She's the one
that baby probably is gonna. Do you think the baby is gonna be the savior of?
Don't know, but she's the one she's the one narrating the whole story.
That's interesting.
She is our
but is it
president.
Like Star Wars?
It's a bit like Star Wars in terms of scope.
That means there's a lot of things going on in the galaxy.
Well, yeah, it's an epic space opera, so. Much in the vein of Star Wars. Yeah, it's gonna...
But this is really the bit that I read Volume 1, where the droids are wandering through the desert. It's that setup, right? It's questions first, answers later.
I don't understand what you mean.
It means that you don't know what's going on in what is the plan for this big story? It can't just be...
The story is about this child's life and what she went through, you know. Apparently she's going to live because she wouldn't be telling the story. But you don't know if her parents is going to make it through or not.
Right, okay. Not a play on Moses, is it?
And, you know, this child represents something because these two worn planets, you know.
Is this the first child who's had this interspecies marriage, birth?
I think it is.
Right, so it does seem a bit biblical to me. It does seem a bit biblical.
You know, I gotta mention a couple things. First of all, tomorrow is a birthday. Happy birthday to Snoopy.
I thought you were gonna say Stan Lee.
Is his birthday tomorrow too?
Let's have a look. Will he make it? I'm really worried about Stan Lee. He's getting on a bit now.
No worry. He'll drink some blood or some virgins and he'll be alright.
Or he'll just keep wanking it. So that kept Ernest Borgnine going for
a while. He's 92 years old and he'll be 93 if he makes it December 28th.
Excelsior.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really old now. That's...
Yeah, but hey, if he dies at 93 and it's like, dude, lived to 93. It's awesome.
I know.
I was reading about all these great artists, top 10 artists for DC, and every single one of them died like in the 1990s. They're all gone from the Silver from the Silver Age, for example. They're all gone. The artists I'm talking about.
Okay.
And that's DC.
There are a lot of Marvel artists as well from there that have died. Because, hey, that's the stage, man.
Yeah, it is a shame, isn't it?
But we're talking about Snoopy's birthday, you know? Happy birthday,
yeah,
Snoopy.
Yeah, goddamn it, Sam. Why you gotta make it so morbid?
I know. I mean, this is Snoopy, man. This is an icon. This is the great American dog, Snoopy.
But he's suffered a bit of a decline over the last few decades.
I mean, you know, his son is a famous rapper and everything. I mean,
Snoopy and Peanuts, as great as they were, they had the heyday in the late 70s and early 80s.
The movie in November is going to bring them back to the fourth.
I don't think so, because the Smurfs are trying to do that, and they did okay at the box office.
The Smurfs ain't the Peanuts. I mean, the only reason the Peanuts haven't been around is because they haven't put no effort into doing it. But
yeah, that's right. I mean, I haven't seen any Snoopy merchandise in the shops.
I see Snoopy merchandise all the time.
25 years.
I see
25 years, sir.
I see Snoopy merchandise all the time.
Well, I don't know. I'm quite shocked at that, because Snoopy used to be big.
He is in big. Europe.
Now you go into the street now, here in Madrid or in London, and you ask your little kid.
That's in the old town. We in the new world. You know, we stay hip to things. And listen, I mean, come on now. He's famous. His son is famous. You know, his son has been making records for.
But it's been marginalized. Decades. Snoopy has been marginalized. You no longer get the feature length shows that you used to put on summer holidays as kids. You know, Snoopy's Christmas and stuff. You don't get that anymore on kids' TV. And certainly not on the main channels. But you used to get that on main terrestrial channels over summer hot breaks. Snoopy at Christmas, at Easter, summer holidays. It was Snoopy, Snoopy, and now nothing. So he has suffered a decline, unfortunately. It's a shame, because it's a lovely story.
Okay, maybe a bit of a decline, but no one's ever forgetting about Snoopy.
And I
wouldn't be too sure about that.
And his son, Snoop Dogg.
No, Pete, no, I'm sorry. Snoopy is that big a cultural icon. Snoopy's never going to be forgotten.
He's never going to be forgotten.
He might not be popular on TV anymore, but it's not saying, hey, oh, Snoopy's forgotten. No, Snoopy ain't ever going to be forgotten, man.
Okay, he's not going to be forgotten. He's going to be there in the background. It's like Goofy. You don't see Goofy on TV these days.
You just watch Disney Channel. You'll get all the Goofy you want.
Yeah, that's not... I don't know, but...
Well, that's the thing. You know, you don't have to put him on regular TV because you have networks dedicated for that.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah, exactly.
When was the last time Disney did a full feature... theatrical release of a Mickey Mouse, Goofy, Pluto, Donald Duck movie, and got it released nationwide in all cinemas, and everyone flocked to see it. I mean, in the olden days, they used to have like the Three Amigos.
Yeah, but that was in the olden days. You didn't have all these different outlets to show stuff.
Now they can make feature-length films. You don't have to release to Redbox or on streaming, so your children can enjoy. They don't need primetime television to remain cultural icons.
Stanley, Dr. J said hello.
Oh, hello, Dr. J.
I'm not entirely.
You know what, Jordan? It's lost on him. He just don't get Snoopy. So, you know,
I'm trying to figure out what the point of this whole conversation was. Like, they might not have the prevalence they used to have on TV right now, but that doesn't mean they're forgotten. They're still cultural icons. People, we don't always need to be having another Mickey movie or such. Again, there are different avenues now, aside from the ones we were limited to back in the day, to still have good stories with these characters.
But that would require several things. You'd have to, here in Spain, for example, you'd have to have a Canal Plus subscription, and you'd have to have a subscription to kids' channels here in Spain. In England, you would have to have Sky TV, and then get the, but also buying as an extra the kids'
Okay, so
TV
you're speaking
channels.
To where you are.
Yeah, I don't know about America. It must be the same model. You have to pay for a subscription fee for your TV channel, and then the kids' TV.
Well,
might get lucky in a package.
Well, it depends on the service you're using. It depends.
Yeah, but it never used to be like that. You used to get terrestrial TV free through the airwaves, and you used to get Disney time on holidays, which used to promote Disney, right, with small skits and excerpts from their theatrical animation, animated Goofy, Donald Duck cartoons, and also the other ones like the Black Cauldron and Lady and the Tramp. You said put it on constantly during the holidays. You don't get that on the main channels anymore, ever. Not in Spain or in England with the BBC and ITV. So I'm thinking that even the main core of Disney characters that have been slightly reduced since the 90s and 80s, certainly. Believe me, if I had a time machine and I could go out into the street and take a survey of what kids thought and what they knew regarding Disney characters and Snoopy, and then I took that data and then went back to, I don't know, 1983, 82, and then asked the kids, then there'll be a big difference, believe me. Believe me. There used to be propaganda of Donald Duck and Mickey in Spain everywhere back in the day, in like the late 80s, mid 80s. Now there's nothing.
Okay,
if
but
you go
again,
to a Disney store, that's a different thing. We never used to have Disney stores. But then every single store, kids' store, used to have a Mickey Mouse section with toys, related toys in. And now you don't get that. It's what? Become very...
There are still toys. Okay. Well, again, what I'm getting is you're not seeing it be prevalent, you know, say around where you are. But this is like a specific thing that's set to your area.
It used to be mainstream, and it used to be more widely known. It's not.
I don't. Disney is still very much mainstream.
Only for the theatrical releases of specific movies. Given old
titles. They're mainstream in TV and on their own channel, and also ABC, ESPN.
Not here. No, not here. Not all the main channels don't screen Disney anymore. It's only the Disney Channel here in Europe. And I've noticed that. I wish I could take that survey with the time machine, Jordan. I wish I could do that on Surfer.
What?
But you can't.
Time machine.
But I love Snoopy. I think Peanuts was great. And
so, are you looking forward to the new Peanuts movie?
I want to see Snoopy as the Red Baron.
Snoopy isn't the Red Baron. He fights the Red Baron.
As Red Beagle, isn't he?
He fights the Red Baron. He's not the Red Baron.
Okay, I thought he was called the Red Beagle or something.
No.
Oh, if not that, then he has to be as Joe Cool, at least for a few minutes.
He'll probably be Joe Cool. But, you know, it's not all about Snoopy. It is a Charlie Brown movie, too, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. So just be like a sidekick.
No, I mean, Snoopy, Snoopy gets like a fourth of the movie to do what Snoopy does.
I wish it would do that. It would just, the camera went off Charlie Brown and the gang and just followed him and Peanuts.
It will, don't worry.
Hang on, I've got this wrong. The bird isn't called Peanuts. That's the gang.
No, the bird is Woodstock.
Woodstock, sorry, yeah. It's been so long since I've seen it.
It's been so long.
See, when you grow up here, you get to watch Charlie Brown specials.
But every single holiday, Easter and
yes.
Christmas, not here anymore.
The Great Easter Bunny, Charlie Brown.
They still come on here.
Well, not in Europe, but it's a damn
mostly day. Mostly on ABC Family. But anyway, you know what I want to talk about next?
What?
Wait, I just had it and I lost it. Hold on.
What do you want to talk? You got well. Hey, we got to Google
Star Wars.
Okay, what about the Wars of Stars?
Well, you know, Force Awakens comes out in December.
Excited.
And, you know, tickets will go on sale pretty soon. And, of course, most people will want to see it in IMAX. But what we found out this week is you have to see it in certain IMAX screens if you want to see the full picture. Apparently, now, there's two kinds of IMAX. There's the original large screen IMAX where they are located in some areas of the different country and around the world. And then there are converted IMAX screens. And they're fine to watch a movie, but apparently these converted IMAX screens won't show you the entire picture the way the, you know, 20... I don't know. I forgot how many stories these IMAX screens are. But they are huge. So you have to go and find an authentic IMAX theater if you want to see the full Star Wars Force Awakens in full IMAX. And I will try to buy a ticket for that first showing. Hopefully, you know.
Yeah.
Hopefully I can get to a screening before that, though.
I hope I can get ahead of the line.
The bastards shut the IMAX in Madrid. I might go see it in London.
You're gonna fly all the way to London just for a
movie.
I'm
not that kind of a fanboy, just because I pop over there quite a lot.
No, Stanley, that was joke I was making.
There's no joking when it comes to Star Wars, Jordan Cobb.
There are several jokes.
Let's just say that.
Have you seen a Star Wars porn parody? I can make several jokes off of that.
No, we ain't talking about no Star Wars porn, okay? Not on this show.
It's a family show. You can't say Han Solo and you can't say Obi-Wan Kenobi to anyone. anyone under the age of 16.
You know,
children, they're just gonna listen anyway because they will not listen to parents' authority.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan's a liberal, and this is allowed in his house, him being the master.
Wow, you had to go and make it political.
Jordan, I don't want to be on here too long, so we can't do full-on news stories, so we got to do rapid-fire news stories.
All right, Gambits. The leading lady in the Gambit movie is not, but the actress has not been announced. It has been announced Belladonna Bordeaux will be the female lead, but that is just the character. There are some ladies on the short list to play the mutant character: Lea Zedel, upcoming from Spectre; Rebecca Ferguson; and Abby Lee. Belladonna Bordeaux is, of course, co-created by Jim Lee and, unfortunately, Scott Lobdell, who made her first appearance in X-Men number 8 in 1992. She is the leader of the New Orleans Assassins Guild and was Remy LeBeau, a.k.a. Gambit's first love.
Rebecca Ferguson. She's in Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Which I still haven't seen. Oh, and by the way, she can create plasma bursts as well. So, that's our female lead character. There is no actress for her yet.
Keep it going.
I thought you were going to take the next one. Okay, fine. Lionsgate and Hasbro are teaming up for a My Little Ponies animated film. Theatrical. You know, free act structure, you know, character development, plot beats, all that. That's happening.
Oh, you bronies, you going to get something to clap to.
Or clop.
Clop to.
Yeah, see, you gotta go for the pun. There's gonna be a new Adam Reed animated show on FXX, Cassius and Clay, an animated action buddy comedy with Caitlin Olsen as Cassius, Lake Bell as Clay. Cassius and Clay are bandits looking to survive in a futuristic post-apocalyptic American South. Now, this was announced to debut in 2016, along with the 7th season of Archer, which will be moving to FXX.
You think Muhammad Ali's gonna have a problem with that?
Not too much.
Why? They're using his name.
No. That was Cassius Clay. This is Cassius and Clay. Big difference.
Right, they're still using his name. I know it's two different people, but still, like, they're using his name.
Hmm.
It's not coincidence they naming two people Cassius and Clay. Come on now.
Anyway, Susan Sarandon is also involved as a series regular, with recurring cast members including J.B. Smoove, Kevin Michael Richardson, Jeffrey Tambor, Stephen Root, Katie Mixon, and Robert Patrick.
Is this show J.B. Smoove not involved in?
I honestly cannot answer that question.
I mean, he's everywhere, but anyway.
There are some details as to Agent Carter season 2. First confirming, yeah, it's going to be in Hollywood. It'll have a limited number of episodes, much like last season. Peggy will see a much lighter Peggy, not so much dealing with the grief of Steve Rogers anymore. Still sort of dealing with it, but she's moved on. So we're not going to have his shadow living around.
That's nice.
Yes, it's very much nice. They talked about villains. One of the show creators, Tara, said, "Here's the thing, it's a little hard. In the comic books, a lot of the Marvel period, then their issue rights. Our villain from the season is very much a Marvel villain that we co-opt a little bit, like Dr. Finoff in the first season. Like a 40s version of that and whatever. And there are much more. There will be a new SSR office that Agent Sosa will be heading up out in Hollywood. Alright, you want to take this next one, Surfer?
Yeah, you know, Ben Affleck can't do he has to put on hold his, some films he's working on because he's doing Batman movies. Hold on, let me get the names of these, Two of the movies you're working on is being delayed, and the name of these movies,
The Accountant.
The Accountant, yes, and,
Live by Night.
On hold, because Batman's more important.
Yeah, apparently, Affleck's so impressing, Warner Brothers people and Batman v Superman, they're giving him a trilogy. And that he will help to co-write, direct, and star in. First movie is still proposed to be being co-written by Jeff Johns.
Live-action X-Men TV show supposed to be confirmed in the works at Fox. I'm not buying it. I don't know if I care. But they got to work something out with Marvel in order to do a TV show, because Marvel has the TV rights.
I have a deal. Give Marvel and Disney the Fantastic Four rights back, then they can do the X-Men series.
But Marvel may not want to give up the TV rights to X-Men because, you know, cartoons and stuff.
Sometimes you gotta break a few eggs.
I'm still waiting on that second season of Wolverine and X-Men, which you never
speaking did. Of second season, allow me to freak the fuck out. Wally West is coming to the Flash, bitches! Woo!
He's Wally West?
Wally West was Kid Flash, and then he became the Flash.
Yeah, my Flash. The one that got me into this whole universe and character that I love and adore.
Has he gotten his powers yet?
No. This season 2 is introducing the character.
No, I'm talking about in the comic book.
In the book right now? He hasn't gotten his powers yet. What the fuck was that?
It was me sneezing, sorry.
Okay. The Flash has cast an Australian actor, Keon Lonsdale, to play Wally West. I've never seen this actor in anything, but I very much trust the casting of the show. So I'm very, very, very much stoked.
And of course, when Secret Wars is over and the new Marvel Universe is starts over, Mighty Thor will still be a woman. And there's a nice, the first issue will have a nice wraparound cover, which it will explain what Thor will be going through over the next year or so. And, you know, you got Unworthy Thor. You got Loki. I can't tell if he's a good guy or bad guy in this, because he looks young, but he looks like he's up to no good. You got the Warriors 3. You got Frigga. Hela. Angela, Odin, his no good ass. Hercules is gonna be showing up, and then plus the villains that Thor's been fighting over the last year, Malekith, the Accuser, and
The guy that runs Roxanne. What's his name? You remember?
The Minotaur. I'm blanking on the exact name.
And
of the
Shield agent Rosalind Sanchez, right?
Rosalind Solomon.
Solomon, yes, I'm sorry.
Which was still my thing. I was like, yeah, that should be, Lady Thor.
I was hoping it was going to be one of his granddaughters from the future. That would have made a lot more sense to me. But, it's currently Jane Foster who's dying of cancer. So, of course, every time she turns into Thor, it kills her even more and more, even though as Thor, she's powerful and whips ass and even held back Odin from taking the hammer from her. So, and of course, the hammer says, if she be worthy, will have the power of Thor, because she is worthy.
Do you think Thor in the movie is actually underplayed in terms of his strength? Because I think he is. With his belt that is meant to double his strength, and the fact that he's knocked serpents out of the base.
He doesn't wear a belt in the movie.
But in comparison to the comic, he's been downplayed in terms of his strength.
I don't think so. It's just...
Really? He can just about take on bodyguards from...
See, you got to put in perspective who he's fighting. He's holding back what he can do when he's fighting people because he would slaughter them, so...
Yeah.
Destroy them! And speaking when of he's
fighting, hold up. When he's fighting ice giants, he doesn't hold back as much. And they haven't had him fight like a giant beast as of yet, but that could be coming with Ragnarok, because he is supposed to fight the Midgard serpent. If they actually going to do the real Ragnarok, he may fight the Midgard serpent if they can do it right. But something I wanted to say about Thor. Oh, the Thors. Number two. Did anybody read it?
I haven't read the Thor's book yet. I'm trying to catch up on my Secret War stuff.
Well, they're investigating the murder of Jane Foster's all over the Battleworld kingdoms. Because, some bodies kept showing up and they found out they're all Jane Foster's. And so, originally, Ultimate Thor and Beta Ray Thor was investigating the murder, but Beta Ray Thor was killed talking to one of his informants, who happens to be Loki. So, second issue, they had a memorial for Beta Ray Thor, and because he was considered like probably the second best Thor there is, next to his partner, which is Ultimate Thor. And so Ultimate Thor is trying to find, one of the last remaining Jane Fosters. And then, she's been gone for a while now. And he is confronted by Mighty Thor, who, of course, doesn't have his hammer. So he's known as Thor the Unworthy. But he does have Jawbone, his axe. And they fight for a little bit to a standstill. But it was interesting that 616 Thor, Ultimate Thor, met for the first time. Wouldn't you say, Jordan, that was interesting enough?
No, it was. It was.
Yeah. The book ended with them capturing Loki, so he's now the prime suspect, but I don't think he's the murderer, because it's too easy the way they caught him. And, I think the murderer is going to be somebody else. Maybe Odin or somebody like that.
Who knows?
Of course, I'm wondering where female Thor is going to fit into all this. Because right now, they have not met her yet. So.
Yeah.
There are female Thors on the Thor force. There's a Storm Thor. And, there's plenty of different Thors out there, but they haven't met the Jane Foster Thor yet, so, because she just came off the life raft, and now she's scattered to the winds. And Secret Wars number 5 is coming out this week. I'm so excited to pick it up.
Yeah, we'll be reviewing that next week and singing the praises of our Lord God, Doom.
We get to learn how Doom created Battleworld.
Because he is amazing and he is God.
Anyway, what's next?
So Love is Dead.
Love is never dead.
Yes, it is. Kermit and Miss Piggy broke up. Love is dead.
Oh yeah, I meant
forever dead.
I meant to bring that up earlier.
By the way, Dario Agger is the Minotaur in the Doorbook. Okay. But anyway,
yeah, the couple has been together for decades. Has called it quits. So they're breaking up. They're splitting up. Kermit and Miss Piggy.
In no way is related to the upcoming TV show.
First it was Ben and Jen. Now Kermit and Piggy. Kermit must have found himself some new pork rinds to eat on, because we know he admit that he likes those pigs, so he has a pig fetish.
So now we're all gonna go cry to our pints of Ben and Jerry's and hate the world.
I got faith they'll find their way back to each other.
No, it's not. Love is dead. There's no
Jordan. Believe that true love will find a way home, okay?
How can I believe in true love if true love is
it
just
will,
dying?
They will find a way back to each other, okay?
The only way is for Gonzo, Fozzie Bear, and for Kermit to have a foursome with Miss Piggy. And that's the only way to make the relationship
Stanley,
work.
Behave yourself, okay?
Thank you. It's a family show. Speaking of family...
Deadpool trailer came out.
Yes! Finally the footage from Comic-Con is in crystal clear HD and it's amazing.
Yes, people.
Yeah, bitch.
I'm excited for the trailer, but I'm not yet excited for the movie.
I'm still excited for the movie.
Because the trailer may be badass, but that don't mean the storyline, the movie gonna make any sense at all. So we are what, 6 months away from Deadpool being released?
It's in February, yeah, sometime around now.
Yeah, let's have a little temperament. And of course, it got dropped last Tuesday around 10 p.m. And, of course, and it hasn't been the same since.
No, the internet has not been the same.
Motherfucker! Yeah, I didn't cue it up right. Here we go.
Wait! You may be wondering why the red suit. Well, that's so bad guys can't see me bleed. This guy's got the right idea. He wore the brown pants.
Daddy needs to express some rage.
Go give it to you, motherfucker! X go deliver to you. Damn right, can I do it again? Yeah, I am like some gospel. Break bread with the enemy. No matter how many cats I break bread with, I break these enemies.
It reeks like old lady pants in here.
Sounds like you have a dick in your mouth.
See that, people? Just cursing and death and violence. I watched the
clean family fun.
I watched the regular trailer and it's not as exciting as the Red Band trailer.
Nah, I saw it in front of Fantastic Four yesterday.
No, Fantastic. Get the name right, man. Don't be.
Hey, I don't want to talk about this movie ever again on the air. I just wanted to get that one last jab in.
Yeah, like I said, I'm excited for the trailer. Not excited
it
yet
looks
for the
great
movie.
The red, the green band, the all audience trailer was like, eh.
I need to see what the storyline is about. Because if it's just him going out just slicing off heads, well, that's necessarily not going to be a great story. But we'll see. We'll find out. And what's the chance this becomes bigger than X-Men?
I don't know. 50-50?
So you think it has half of a chance of maybe...
Yeah, it kind of has 50-50, yeah.
Okay.
Well, now for some quick DC Comics news. Casting. Vandal Savage has been casted for Edge for Legends of Tomorrow by Denmark actor Kasper Kronk. And it's apparently going to be an upcoming live action.
Why are they picking somebody from Denmark to play Vandal Savage?
I believe it's because he was the actor they most liked in the role from all their auditions.
Vandal Savage should be someone who looks like
proper English.
No, like, okay, you shouldn't be able to tell what his ethnicity is. Like, it should be ambiguous.
Well, I'm kind of getting that from this guy.
Oh, okay. Then.
Yeah, have you seen a picture of him? He kind of has the look. He kind of looks the part and has the build for something like this.
Let me bring this up real quick. Okay.
Satisfying enough for you?
No, the page hasn't loaded yet.
Okay, well, why that happens. Speaking of Legends of Tomorrow, Hawkman's been casted. Falk Hansel has been casted as Carter Hall. The latest incarnation of an Egyptian prince who was fated to reincarnate throughout time, along with his soulmate, Kendra Saunders, being played by Sierra Renee. Carter can access the powers of the Hawk God Horus, transforming him into the winged warrior known as Hawkman.
Okay, he's not bad.
Yeah. Both of these have been casted. Yay! And speaking of DC, all 22 episodes of the original 1990s Flash television series have been released on the CW Seed. Go watch it. It actually seriously really holds up well.
Well, so now I have two reasons to download Seed. For that and Vixen, which is about to come out this month, right?
Yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy had a teaser trailer released for its upcoming animated series, and it looks okay.
Which teaser are you talking about?
It's in the Google Doc.
No, which teaser did you watch?
I watched the one that's in the Google Doc, the Greatest Hits teaser.
Oh, okay, that one. I thought you was talking about the two videos with Star-Lord being kidnapped.
Yeah.
Did you watch those?
Yeah, I checked them out. They're okay. Man, I want Marvel to have a good animated series again.
I think this looks, Wait, no. I didn't... Yeah, I like Cat Dennis too, I think it looks, good. For, a Disney D cartoon.
Yeah.
Guardians,
It could. Now we got three stories left. Hey, there's gonna be a Pez movie in development.
Well, wait and see attitude on that one.
Jesus fucking why.
What, you never had a Pez dispenser?
I've had several Pez dispensers. I'm just thinking, why are we making the Pez dispenser?
You like Pez candy?
I like Pez candy just fine. They're no Skittles, but okay.
I never thought the candy was all that, to be honest. I mean,
No, they weren't.
It's like you fill your dispenser, and then they're gone for like a matter of minutes.
Well, Cameron Fay is pinning the screenplay, which will be a comedy, with Lee Nelson and David Bulo producing it. Lee Nelson, CEO, EMA CEO, and founder, said Pez candy is beloved by children and adults alike. With Cameron Fay, we've created a world unique to Pez and a story that will touch the hearts of many. Okay, then. So Fox News got all butthurt about what's going on in Superman recently.
Of course.
Because, Fox News,
Because Superman helped the people against cops being abusive instead of flying in and helping the cops beat the people down. Like because they think cops doing their job when they beat people up.
Yes, in the current Action Comics... the story mixes the anxieties of current events with more, superheroism stuff, like, of, you know, what's going on in Ferguson, what happened in Ferguson and other places like Baltimore and such, with lower class places and whatnot, while dealing with this whole mystery, story of Superman's identity having been revealed. And Fox asked, you know, Fox News asked New Jersey State Policemen's Benevolent Association, you know, he was asked, you know, Patrick Colligan said, it's disgraceful, saying they want to sell comics. Unfortunately, they've been some very great cops and they're very, and their everyday duty, protecting the public. We're once again painted with a very broad shirt nobody wants to be painted with. And even said, comic books are taking on social issues lately, and maybe they should go back to taking on superheroes and making people laugh. Hey, jackass! Comic books, just like any other medium, like your movies, like your television, and your novels, video games and such, it can take on social issues. You know, like, hey, remember... Hey, Superman helping out with the Cold War, Captain America punching Hitler and shit.
Dr. J says Superman also helped stop the growth of the KKK. So, according to Fox News, the police never do anything wrong.
No, of course not. The police, every police officer ever, every single police officer is a great person, except, you know, maybe they're not all the best person ever, and some of them might be incredibly corrupt and don't do their job that well in protecting and serving. No, but hey, it's Fox News, and Fox News would never lie. Oh wait, it's Fox News. They lie a lot. So Fox News, please shove it. Just shove it right up in there, you idiots. Now, last story. Lucy Lane's coming to Supergirl.
Smallville.
Yeah, I caught myself. Jenna Dewayne is Tatum is playing Lucy Lane on Supergirl.
So we got a Lane, we got an Olsen. The only person missing is a white.
Yeah, Lois Lane here is being, Lucy Lane. Lucy Lane here is being described as brash, funny, and beautiful as her older sister Lois Lane. Lucy is strong, smart, and successful in her own right. She's got a history with Jimmy Olsen, and she's come to town to right a previous wrong. She'll first appear in the third episode of the series.
Is that you typing, Stanley?
It is, sorry. I'll mute myself when I type.
He's fine.
Alright, so what did we learn today? Not nothing.
We learned that indie comics are highbrow and they're very, very intellectually stimulating.
Double A's in the chat room! He's in the chat room. Hello!
Hey, nobody. We also A1 learned
Adams
that
in the chat room.
We also learned that one company probably can't do right by a certain property that they own.
I heard it say that Fantastic Four film was almost like a downbeat horror genre.
The closest that came was maybe some of the atmosphere they tried to create with Dr. Doom when he's brought in, when he's on for the final act, but that fails terribly. Even the inspiration of David Cronenberg body horror when they first discovered how they had their powers, which is a great idea. Cronenberg body horror with Fantastic Four,
wait a minute, you must have heard the rumors that the film director of Fantastic Four had bust-ups with the with Fox, the producers, the film movie was cut from whatever 2 hours 30 minutes.
We are aware of this.
A lot of people aren't out there.
The turmoil from the behind the scenes is very much noticeable.
I mean, you heard the rumors that he turned up on set the director that is, late and high and drunk. He obviously didn't win the battle and he had to reach a compromise. I would like to see the director's cut of that movie.
There's not going to be a director's cut. But listen, I didn't hear nothing about drunk or anything like that, but...
Inebriated.
But, and we also learned that the best pizza is coming to TV. I love Barry Allen to death, but Wally is my guy. Wally is my Flash.
You know, I'm going to talk about this real quick. Avengers Assemble.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the second season just ended. And they had an interesting storyline going on because, you know, the second season has been all about the ongoing storyline. First, it was about them stopping Thanos from getting together the Infinity Gauntlet. And then that spun off into trying to stop Ultron. But throughout the different episodes, there were the Squadron Supreme involved, right? And first it was Hyperion shows up. He tried to take over the Earth. Then little by little, different members of his crew showed up. So this third part of the season was the Squadron Supreme trying to find a way to take the Earth from the Avengers. And the last two episodes were pretty good storytelling. Jordan, I know you have not watched Avengers Assemble. I think you should watch some of it because it's not silly. It's not Ultimate Spider-Man where they joke a lot.
No, I know. And see, I just fallen off of Avengers Assemble. It's not really keeping my attention that much.
But I've noticed that Marvel has put a lot of effort. A lot behind reviving the Squadron. And especially Hyperion. He got a book now doing Secret Wars. He got a book coming out afterwards.
Which I'm going to check out soon. I've been hearing nothing but great things about that book in particular. So, and hell, maybe I'll reread the original Squadron Supreme book.
No, the original book is... The original team is Squadron Sinister.
I knew I fucked something up.
And then they did a Squadron Supreme book. And then the Szczesny's Supreme Power. That's an awesome book. That's all you need to read. If you want to read something, read Supreme Power. But I'm surprised they've put more effort into the Squadron they have the Inhumans. And the Inhumans is what they're really pushing. I'm sorry, I missed something on Skype. Dr. J said he heard you got drunk too. Well, I guess, you know, things happen. I've been drunk, so.
I was drunk last night.
You are lush.
I am not.
Yes, you are. I know why you was drunk too. You thought you was in Austin partying, but no.
I wish I was in Austin partying right now. Get a nice break away from this work I'm doing.
But anywho, let's wrap this up.
Yeah, it's our show.
No, it's not the show. We have to pay the bills.
All right, fine. You pay the bills.
We're here every Sunday live, 5 p.m. for the What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. We'll be here next week. Same surfer time, same surfer channel. But we won't be here for the 23rd, people. Because that's when the WWE SummerSlam is happening. And Mega Slam, Rage versus Dave Mega Powers. Who can be more gluttonous when it comes to eating? We'll find out on the 23rd live. At 5 p.m. here on Rant EM Radio. I believe that's going to be video streamed, so.
Which will be fun to do.
And all the other fine shows here at Rant EM Radio. Every Saturday night, the Wrestling Calling Show with William Morgan. Every Friday night's Turnbuckle Throwback with Phil and Dave. Every Thursday at 9 p.m., Rant and Wrestling. Every Tuesday at 11 p.m., Freaks and F and Geek with that loser raise. And I call him a loser because he's going to lose at Mega Slam. And lead champion, who's going to be co-host list after the 23rd. Unfortunately. No, just kidding. And the Rant every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. There go that typing again. Gee whiz. I taught you better than that, Stanley. So, you have plenty of fine shows here, Rant and Radio. Pick your choice. Pick your poison. Listen to them all. Support them all. Join the different groups on Facebook. And I think that's it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
I still hear typing. So, I don't know what you're typing. I can't wait a couple more minutes till I say goodnight, but must mean the end of the world comes if you don't finish it. So, anyway. So, Stanley, we appreciate you calling in, you know.
Yep, it's been good.
Thank you very much.
My contribution is invaluable, and it has taught the masses what true comic book should be about. Not just about silly monsters in suits hitting on each other, smashing the town up.
There's nothing wrong with people smashing each other in costumes, okay? That's what makes the world go
around. Grown men in tights, smashing up buildings, well.
Fun for everyone. So, we bid you adieu, people. Say good night, Jordan.
Good night, everybody.
We appreciate you listening. We appreciate you supporting. Oh, real quick, Rant, World League Fantasy Football is available if you want a team. Got to get me your email. There's 20 slots, but I will cut it off at 12 if we. So basically, we need one more team, unless more teams want to show up, and then we'll keep it open to the 20. And we're having a draft probably on. You can't help yourself, can you?
Sorry.
You bastard.
Probably on August 30th will probably be the draft for the Rant World League. So. Contact me somehow, you know, on Facebook or in the Rant page, and we'll get you a team. So anyway, so thanks for listening, and as always, here's the buttons I need to press.
Good night, Grandma.
No, don't tell me to get off the air. What is wrong with you? Goddamn ghost chaser you. All right, everybody. Peace.